We are in the second week of a series that we're calling Imago Dei, and as our panelists, if you will, come on up and find your spots as they come up and get settled in, we just have a primer that every week we're going to read the same thing at the beginning of this conversation to set that conversation. The scriptures tell us that from the beginning we are created in the image of God. And so we bear the likeness of our Creator. I'll sit there if you don't mind. And so we bear the likeness of our Creator, every single one of us. This is why for many years now our church website has said we welcome all persons and have no leadership limits based on race, gender, identity, sexual orientation, or physical ability for those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Because the central standard is Jesus. But because of how the Bible has been interpreted over the centuries, the church has often implicitly and explicitly communicated that we do not all bear the image of God or belong equally. Women have been left out or excluded from leadership in the church historic. Gay, lesbian, trans, and queer folk have been promised they can belong so long as they fit in. People with differently abled bodies have often been excluded or treated less than because of their physical bodies. And non-white cultures and ethnic groups have often been treated like they're only here to help the quote-unquote real image bearers. It sounds ugly because it is. It doesn't sound like Jesus because it isn't. And so our panel discussions during the Imago Dei series are meant to be a kind of promise. Not to perfection or to utopia. And we aren't expecting full agreement for everyone in the room about everything, but these conversations are kind of promise that we are working and learning to be a community that is safe for people pushed to the margins. People of color, women, the disabled, and the LGBTQ+ person, because we are all created in the image of God and no one should be left out. As we discuss what it means for us to bear the image of God in the church and in the world, for the church to be a safe place for us to grow in the likeness of Jesus and the fullness of what God has created us to be, will you please welcome our panel for today? Would you each like to introduce yourself? Tell them who you are, why you're here.
Hi, I'm Corey Holloway. I'm originally from Jacksonville, Florida. Grew up over in East Moline, live in Rock Island now. Proud husband, grateful father of four. You can see all my kids running around here today. Here to have this conversation because this is work that I'm passionate about. Want to see change for all people of all makeups. So looking forward to having this conversation today.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Amaya Woods. I currently attend Augustana College. I'm also an engineering major, hopefully electrical. I might switch to mechanical, but I don't know yet. Also, I'm here today because this is something I probably never do, and I want to kind of break out of my shell and show the people that they can do it as well. And so this is like a really big step for me, so I decided,
awesome.
Why not do it?
Yeah, girl!
My name is Marissa Cantu, and I was born and raised here in Rock Island. And went away for a little bit to the Florida area, came back, went away for school too, but this is where I've called home. I've always been very passionate about diversity, about the roles that it plays in everything that we do, in society, in the work, in places of worship, and at home too, in the family.
So every week we're going to have identical questions that are only changed to reflect the group of people that we're talking about. Our group today has had the questions to consider, to think about. They might not all answer all of the questions, partially for time, but also because everyone has different things that they care more about. But I wanted to begin asking everybody, what was your introduction to God and to church, or how did you initially get connected to God and church? Where would like to start?
Thanks very much.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. My story is probably very similar to a lot of folks. My mom took me to the church when we lived in Florida. As a kid, it was a place to go and hang out, get to hear these stories, but the most important things were the snacks, right? So whatever juice they was giving out that day. So so that was my introduction to church. I wouldn't say relationship yet. When I moved here, had an opportunity to get involved with a local faith-based organization, and there's when I start to learn the foundations of what it means to have a relationship through some great mentors who are in the crowd out here. So it started to take those steps to have a faith of my own. Is what I would say would be my introduction to the church.
I would say my introduction to the church is through my family. My family is very Christian orientated, and as well as their families, and they have a good Christian friend group that surrounds them as well, which helped play a big part because their kids were around my age, and so we went to church together, and so I had church buddies, as well as we would also go to little camps. I don't know if you guys know, but there's this place called Youth Hope that my dad used to work at, and I would go there, and that's how I learned more about Christ, as well as there were times where I would go with my friends to their church and experience what it was like, and so that just helped play more of a role in seeing that I was the only kid that went to church, there was other people, so that was something that helped me get connected more to God in the church.
Yeah. Marissa.
My connection to God and church was my dad was a pastor at a Spanish Mennonite church growing up and in Moline. And I also went to what was called Christian Friendliness at the time when I was young, little lad. And along with that, I had amazing mentors in my life as well that made a huge impact on how I viewed God. My dad being a pastor at a church.
Okay. So in the context of having learned about God, been introduced to the context of church, and grown up, all three of us have grown up in that context. Have you found it easy or difficult to accept who you are, how you were made, in comparison to how the world has treated you?
I wanted to attribute a little piece to that culturally. Growing up in a Spanish congregation, the way that you're viewed as a child there, and then growing up into your own community, actually made it a little more difficult for me to grow into my own and in my own calling, even though I did grow up seeing examples of women in leadership, culturally speaking, there's still the aspect of women serving their children and serving their husbands and serving community, not so much being a voice. And so that was a challenge for me growing up that I was able to overcome as my relationship with God became stronger and His calling became stronger in my life. I get a little teary-eyed because even now I still struggle with the concept of elderly, so culturally we hold our elders to a high esteem as well. And it's funny, I had a conversation with you a little while ago about would I have to talk to a group of older pastors or older, and so sometimes to me as a Latina woman, it gets a little overbearing, not overbearing, overwhelming to think that I need to have some sort of leadership over elderly. And I don't know if does that make sense?
Yeah.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, because there's cultural contexts for you that kind of change the way that you interact with the world around you.
So even 5 years older than me, it's such a sense of respect that I would never want to, feel like a sense of authority is being disrespectful. Mm. But obviously we find grace and understanding in the way that we talk to one another in faith.
So how have you found it difficult or natural Have you found it difficult or natural to accept how you were made? And what do you think God thinks of you?
That's a really good question. I would say it's a little half and half. Mm. I find it a little difficult due to like certain circumstances of how I see people, treat other people in the world, especially with my skin tone. And so that's a little difficult. I'm like, God, why would you place me in these certain predicaments or these certain issues? Because sometimes, I don't know if you guys know, but I actually have really bad anger issues. So when it comes to stuff like that, I kind of, yeah, he knows. I kind of crash out a little bit. They know too. But yeah, it's kind of hard for me, so it's difficult for me to accept that, especially with the age that I'm at. I feel like I'm not fully comfortable with, what I think I can handle and what I cannot handle. But also, I feel like I've accepted it, and I'm able to, like, understand that there's a reason for everything, and God has a reason for everything, and so I just need to trust Him and pray, and that's about it. Hmm.
Yeah, for me, I would say, do I find it difficult to accept myself? No, I'm very proud of who I am, the man that I've become, what has come in, the things that my lived experience that bring me to where I'm at today, you know, wouldn't change, you know, a lot of the major things. Obviously, there's minor things we would like to change along the way, but from the sense of God and how God views me and how God sees me, no, that's a beautiful thing, and I'm glad that I have that understanding of what would be difficult. Is supposed to be His group of people who is also supposed to see you how He sees you. And the hurt that has come from religious organizations and just being, when I see the world doing stuff that's messed up around, it's like, oh yeah, that's what they're supposed to be doing. But when you see it inside of the church, right, that's where the difficulties and struggles come. Because it's, I think even talking to Greg one time, I was like, hey, I think one of our very first times you asked me to come up and pray, I was like, hey, do you need me to wear anything? Certain things so I can, you know, be presentable and all that kind of stuff. And he was like, no, why would you even? But that comes from previous experience where you couldn't just come up here in a hoodie and stuff and pray in front of the church, right? It comes from, you know, how you present yourself, the things that you have to say, some code switching stuff that needs to happen within the church's walls. So those are the things that I would find to be difficult rather than how God sees me.
Corey, we take 30 seconds and explain what code switching is for everyone.
So code switching would be not being your authentic self in all situations in areas. For example, we might have different voices we may have. So how I would speak with, you know, Chris or Joe is different than I would speak with a person that's not of color that I don't know or meet, right? So there's the interview person, that probably like the interview version of yourself that you have to present. Not to say that I'm not, so in those moments, how I may say something, how I might do something may be different just in front of the audience that I'm in front of to be who I would think that they would want me to be, depending on the situation that I'm in.
Yeah.
So whether it be in a work setting, a church setting, going into communities that I'm not typically from, like when I went up to my wife's area of the country, Northwest Indiana, it's like you got to probably present yourself in a certain way so you're not, things aren't assumed about you right away. All right, so how a dress could be a lot different. What I would see, just something relaxing and natural, somebody else could see, like, oh, here's all these, just because you look like that, here's all these things about you. So to prevent some of that, let me change up. Let me switch up that switch part of code switch so that I can be who they would want me to be without there being some kind of like friction or some kind of like assumptions upon me just before they even get a chance to get to know me.
Would that be like Joe, your mom saying, use your white voice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I have one. I'm not going to sit up and act like I don't have a white voice for sure. So I'm not going to do it right now.
There's an entire movie about that entire concept with Danny Glover. Anyway, so is there a place that y'all have found yourself in the scriptures that you find yourself going to remind yourself of what God really thinks about you?
And the scripture that rings loud and clear is, for I created you in your mother's womb, you are beautifully and wonderfully made. And I reiterate that to my children. I hope they reiterate that to their children and continue to allow it to ring loud and clear that we are beautifully and wonderfully made. Mm.
Yeah.
I'd echo that.
What's that?
I would echo that.
Okay.
I would say not necessarily. What I like to do is I like to pray before I read my Bible, and I ask the Lord to guide me to a page of the Bible that will help resonate with me and stick with me throughout the day with whatever I'm going through, or if it's like later in the day, with whatever I was going through that day to help me calm down and remember that God is with me. So I just like, I don't know, I would recommend doing it. I like it. I think it's fun. If you just have your Bible and you take it like this, so like the Bible's like this, and you flip it like this, and you pray, and then you just like graze your thumbs over the pages, and then when you feel like it's the right time, the Lord's like, you should stop. Then you stop and open it. And you look directly at the page. You don't like search around. You just look directly at the page, and then that's basically how I find my verse of the day that helps guide me through my day.
So how do you think that the biblical concept that everybody has made, Imago Dei, in the image of God, how should that shape our understanding of inclusion and diversity inside of a church?
Yeah, I'll start off with this one. So I feel like oftentimes God makes it very clear. And I think what is in the context of a church, we've made it something where it's not of God's word, and we've made it of our own personal views of other people. We've seen what the world has to, what, especially in our country, of how we've taken scripture and used it to abuse, to harm, to kill off other cultures of people. You can't sit up here and say that was of God, right? So when we're talking about the concepts of church, when we hear something that's uncomfortable, it shouldn't be something that we run away from. We should go to the scripture and say, how can you help me understand another person's lived experience and see it from your lens and your love, and not of what a potential political party may say, somebody who you grew up with, say, of a certain group of people may be. So when we're talking about inclusion, who was excluded from God? No one, right? But we can see today how often that we make sure that we can see there's some churches out there that say, well, that group is a group of people isn't welcome. We shouldn't take care of those people. When it says we need to take care of the least of these, and then we see in our world where we're going to take from the least of these to give to those who have greater than, you know, that's one example of how we're not literally taking the words of what God has written and gave us to use as a guide in our life, and then do the complete opposite of that, and then find ways to try to use other scriptures to say, instead of saying we're wrong, here's a scripture that says that I'm right, right? And then we can take scriptures and use it to say, this is why women have to serve in this way in the church, right? And use that as a manipulation tool, or when it comes to tithe and offering and not understanding people's different situations and needs, or trying to sell lots in heaven and stuff like that, right? So when we're talking about diversity, it's understanding that when people from different walks of life will walk into your four walls, how are you prepared as a church to meet them where they're at, to know that your church is a safe place, and show that we're supposed to be different. We shouldn't be able to, there should be some kind of difference when you step into a church. No matter what church it is, it's different from what you are experiencing and seeing in the world. If you're also seeing that in a church, then you're not doing something right, and then you're not living what the scriptures are saying. So, yes, there's going to be some scriptures that are, I want to say, like contradictory, or maybe have a different understanding than what we may have today. But with the heart of what God is hoping to do is laid out pretty well in the Bible. So. Mm-hmm.
You said something I want to key in on, and if you look at this image, there's some hidden things in this image, and I want to encourage you over the weeks to be paying attention, to be looking at it. One of the things that is hidden in it is that all of the tiles spell the word safe, safer, or safest, because that's one of the things that we're trying to move towards, for people to know that this can be a place that's not only safe, is becoming safer, and for some people might be the safest. So who else, anyone have a thought of the biblical concept of Imago Dei and how it should shape inclusion and diversity inside of a church?
So I don't really have a really good answer for this, specifically because I'm still learning more about the Bible every day and how people interpret it and how I should interpret it. So I have mentors to help guide me through the chapters in the Bible, especially when I don't understand. I have people I can reach out to. I do know that the Bible, a lot of times, even now, is still very misused with scripture. I had a friend last year, really good friend. He's just a little different. And we got into a few disagreements just because he is an atheist, and he used to be a Christian, and he didn't really understand why the Lord would allow certain stuff to happen in his life, which caused him to not believe in the Lord anymore. And so then, because of that, he would get angry whenever people would bring up the Bible and would bring up church and would have disagreements. And I bring this up because he would like to pull out like certain scriptures from the Bible and kind of like flip their saying and be like, yeah, you say this and you say the Lord is good, but here in the Bible, is he really good? And like flip what it was saying and interpret it differently. And like on the Wikipedia or like on Google, they have like different answers for how people interpreted things. And so he would like pull up something and be like, yeah, this is the definition, or like this is in the scripture, and say stuff like that. So I think like I'm still learning for myself. I mean, I know he was wrong because he didn't fully read the verse. He was interpreting it wrong. But
have you ever seen the movie The Book of Eli? Jake Van Dam, someone goes here to the church, he's doing an internship, and he's getting a master's at Fuller Seminary. But he was talking to me about an illustration he has from the Book of Eli. I'm going to ruin it for everybody, but the secret is that someone, the bad guys, want to get the only copy of the Bible that's left because they know that they can manipulate people with it, that they could use it as a tool to rule and to have power instead of something that would be a blessing to people. You go through the Old Testament, there are these moments where the Israelites find the Word of God again, they find the scrolls again, and their response is not to rule it over each other, their response is to repent. Their response is to weep at the idea that they had found this again, and look what the Lord has for us. How beautiful is that? Let us turn towards him instead of manipulating each other. And so you're hearing a theme that the Bible can easily be used as a hammer that you hit people with instead of a balm that you heal people with. Marissa, you had something?
Yeah, Scripture says, for God so loved the world. The Bible is for the world. God is for the world. It's not for white supremacist America only.
Right.
I say that with a lot of conviction because if we really examine the Word of God, there's a lot of civil rights that take place. There's a lot of, you know, Jesus walking amongst people and saying, no, it's okay. I can be in this situation. Mm. No, you don't have to cut his ear off. I can handle myself. Mm. There's a lot of civil rights that are going on. And if we are proclaiming the love of God in our lives, then we are to exemplify love. Mm. And to me, civil rights is exemplifying love. And so the love for humanity should be within us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but I'm just going to leave it at that. Mm-hmm.
So this next question is a very vulnerable question. And so if you don't all want to answer, you obviously don't have to, but has there ever been a time that you felt othered by Christianity or by the church because of your race and ethnic identity? And would you be willing, If not, would you either be willing to share that, or would you be willing to share a time that you felt included by the church?
I go first. Yeah, so yes, I'm a black man in America. What do you mean? Yeah, obviously. So for a specific example, when you're a part of an organization, as a faith-based organization, and the head of that organization is comfortable using racial stereotypes as a key moment with you. When you go off and you learn more about how do you take care of people, I went to going to school, getting all this business knowledge, leadership knowledge, and things of that nature. And you come back and as you're studying this, you're saying like, oh my gosh, like this person has not been treating me or other people that I know who are part of this organization right. And I won't say names or nothing like that, but just to know that this was supposed to be the place where you should be able to be fulfilled. You should be able to be encouraged in a way that would bring fruit to your life and not destruction is something that happened often. As far as other churches, when I lived in Wisconsin for a little bit, this was during the, I forget which shooting it was. It could have been the Jacob Blake shooting, but my wife and I were trying to find a church home there, and it was as some of the Black Lives Matter movement was starting to happen, some of the speaking on the positive things as far as like getting the messages out and things of that nature, and we just went and asked like, hey, is this something that the church is going to address? And one of the people we were speaking to was a Hispanic man. He was like, no, that's something that we will never address that would never get addressed at the pulpit. Like, you will never hear a message about, like, you know, the plight of Black people and what they will endure and things of that nature. I mean, like, looking at you, you're a big, scary-looking dude. So, of course, like, a police officer initially is going to be scared of you, right? So, and this is at the church. I'm not outside on the streets nowhere. This is it's supposed to be the safest place. It was anything but that, you know? And made some kind of comment about like my son at the time and how big he may be someday, and how police officers should be fearful of that. So that's just two examples of different churches from different areas of the country who have this view and perception of, for me specifically, as a Black man in America and the experiences that you will have to endure. So that's, I'm gonna be quiet otherwise.
I'm gonna address a matter of resources. So I used to belong to a congregation that was predominantly Mexican immigrants. We didn't have a lot of resources financially, like within the church. And so we had other churches that were like our sister churches. And my longest fight the whole time of being othered was that we were the outreach. But our goal is the same, was to reach lives for the kingdom, right? To reach out to others in love and to bring them to Christ. And so for the longest time, within that structure, I felt like our church was the outreach instead of standing alongside of us and helping us reach out to those that we were reaching out to as well. And so I want that to make sense to others when we're providing a sense of funding or offerings or things that we give. We give from our hearts, or it should be coming from our hearts. It shouldn't be coming from a sense of, I feel sorry for you, I want to do this for you because I'm better than you, I have more than you. So if we are giving in that sense because we feel that we're better than the other person or because we have more than the other person, and this is the only reason, it needs to be reflected in that sense. And so I say that across the board, and I know I'm talking a little bit about resources and money, but it did feel like a sense of othered in that sense.
And if I can speak on the other side of it, so in dark places there can still be light, and that's so we're talking. Go back to that first question: when is how God sees me? I mean, I'm looking out at three people that I do life with, you know, who came from that same dark period as far as like the environment that we're in, and I do life with these people, right? So that God can always. So you can always find light in God, even if you're going through, you know, awful stuff, right? I think about my wife's best friend, who's also a pastor, and he was willing to have a conversation similar to this in front of his congregation in Couts, Indiana. So it was a very small town, and they had gone through this another monstrosity was put up on their water tower, and he wanted to come and invite me in and some others in to have a conversation of what just happened in their town and how we can move and address that. So when we talk about being included, there are people who get it. And I feel like this church is a church that gets it and wants to make positive changes that impacts, right? So conversations like this is just another example of how we can show inclusion within the church.
I too want to counteract to that, to the part that, yes, there is people that do have more than you and do want to give more than you too. And that's a fact, and that's okay. It's about where it comes from, like where in the heart that it comes from. And I have truly, honestly felt that this congregation gets it as well. And I didn't want to take away from our young voice here.
No, that's fine. I personally have not experienced that in the church. Growing up as a kid, I've been very young, and you know, playing with kids, you don't really stop to look around and if people are judging you really, or if adults are talking about you, you know, you're kids. So I would say no.
So what do you, in your view, what are some of the barriers that prevent churches from being fully inclusive and even equitable of racial and ethnic diversity? And how might we begin to remove the barriers that you see?
I'm gonna say that I asked this question one time too. And if we look around the room and we want to see diversity, it's nobody else's job but our own. It's our job.
What do you mean? Say more.
It's our congregation's job to invite the people that you want to see in your congregation. Mm. If you look around the room and you're fine with where things are, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with, if you look around the room and your community is diverse and you're not diverse, that's not okay. The kingdom of God is going to be diverse. I know, you know, everybody's theory is different on how we're going to recognize each other or not. But I know I'm going to be like, hey, it's my people up there. I'm going to be partying with my people.
And when right? you say your community, you mean the city.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you're in a city.
Because our city is very diverse.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you're in a city that is diverse, your congregation should reflect that.
Yeah.
And it is up to every single one of us. Greg can rack his brain along with the pastoral leadership and the elderly, and we could be like, how do we make our church more diverse? Is it the music? Is it the message? Is it how we wear things? What is it? How we welcome people? Do we need to put signs outside? Do they need to be colorful? Do they need to be dressed in suits? Whatever, you know? Whatever he could think of. But if we're comfortable just looking around and seeing what's here now, then it's not going to change. Nothing's going to be different. Now, there are things internally as leaders, you know, obviously, that there are things that put in place, you know, that you could try to do. But it is up to us as a congregation to want to see the difference. I'm just going to briefly mention that yesterday I was at an event, and it was from one city, and they were all one color in this group of dance girls that are in a dance group. All one color. And then another city was all one color. And I was like, I notice diversity in every single scenario that I'm in, not just church. I'm looking at it in my family. I'm looking at it in the workplace. I'm looking at it out in society, because it's important to me. And so then I start thinking, like, how does that happen? Like, how does that happen? Because I know that one city isn't just all one color. And I know this city isn't just all one color. So how does that happen? And then my marketing brain starts thinking, they're just not reaching out to the right families. They're not offering this, or they're not offering that. Mm. So when I look at my congregation, and I know that it's up to me to invite the people that I want to see here.
What are some barriers that, what are some barriers that prevent churches from being fully inclusive and equitable of racial and ethnic diversity? And how might we begin to remove those barriers?
I would say being afraid of change. I, for one, am a person that's sometimes afraid of change. I For example, like growing up, it'd be kind of hard because you go back and forth between churches with people of color and then people who aren't of color. And that was kind of difficult because the environments are both very different. And especially, I would say, being afraid of change and the aspect of we need to learn that every year or every day is a new step toward a better future. And so we need to be able to face that change and take it headstrong and face it instead of being scared. And I would say one thing, I am a little afraid of change, so I'm a little like a part of the problem that you're talking about. I would say I am really nervous when I bring my friends here just because like of where they grew up or if they grew up in like a predominantly black church because they're really different and sometimes they don't understand because they weren't raised in both churches or they didn't have the opportunity to go to both churches that they don't understand like the different environments and they feel like out of place. And so then I feel scared to bring them to a place that they would feel out of place because I wouldn't want them to feel uncomfortable. So that's a little something that has to do with, I would say, like a barrier for diversity in the church is like being afraid of change and like facing your fears.
I would say the biggest barrier is Western Christianity to the church. Would be the biggest barrier.
Say that again.
The biggest barrier to church is Western Christianity, yeah. Right? So church should be about you being able to improve your one-on-one relationship with God, and that's not how it is here in America as it stands today, right? Church here is a business, and it's here to make profit for most churches, right? So to truly paint a better picture of that, if you go to McDonald's here or in Hawaii, you're gonna get the same set of fries. If the church was really living by God's word, anybody ever had to go church hunting? Like, what is that? Why should we be church hunting if we are all about trying to do the same thing? If we're all abiding by the same scriptures here in Illinois, Florida, Texas, it should be the same thing, but we know it's not. We know this is still the most segregated hour in America, is right now, where we're all praises and singing songs and all that kind of stuff. There's still the most segregated hour here in America. So the barriers is that we've gotten away from, it's working how it was designed to work here in America. So it's working for those who it needs to work for. So to make that change, we have to get uncomfortable, right? Yeah. Nobody wants to get uncomfortable, right? But once you start to do it, you can start taking steps, and it's about having conversations. It's about putting in practical steps and having difficult conversations so that way you can be a church for no matter who walks through your door. You should be able to walk through any church and be accepted for who you are, but we all sit in this room and know that's not the case, right? So the biggest barrier is that our church, how it's set up now, is not about an individual and being led to improve your one-on-one relationship with God, what he's calling you as a man and women to do of the people of God. So as long as that's not the case, as long as that's not being the case, then yes, there's the barrier is always going to be, well, I need to protect the finances of our church. I need to protect this X, Y, and Z of the church, right? So that means I need to give a not great scripture because I want to support a political candidate, then I'm going to do that, right? There's knowing that if I know, just pointing at my wife, because we had a conversation with a pastor when we were out in Northwest Indiana. He was like, hey, you know, I'd rather be out there with the Black Lives Matters and doing this all kind of stuff, but I'm not going to do that because that's not what my sheep needs, right? My sheep need to hear a different message, right? Mm-hmm. So knowing, like, you're the pastor of this church, you know that there's something in your spirit not be telling you that something is around you isn't happening correctly, but I'm not going to preach that message because that's going to, you know, rattle my sheep or whatever the case may be. So that's I'm just keeping it real, right? Western Christianity is the biggest barrier to what the church has, that way God has seen it and way as God has called it, is our biggest barrier. So as long as that exists, racial inequities are going to happen. The way women are treated in church is going to continue to happen. The way we treat our youth in the church is going to continue to happen. As long as it's a business is about profit and about the bottom line at the end of the day, and nothing's going to move or shake that.
So what are the practical steps that individuals and church communities can take to try to break that down, to make sure that it actually is a safe place for what we're talking about?
I want to say that we need to practice being transparent. I think that when things are happening in our community, when things are not going great in our city, when we see injustice, I feel included and I feel heard when members of my congregation say, hey, I heard about this. Do you have any idea how I can help? Do you have any idea what I need to be talking to my friends about? And I've heard that in this congregation. I have had friends in this community call me, text me, ask me questions about what can I be doing to help the community. I remember when all of the stuff was going down with immigration. I mean, it's a scary world that we're living in right now. And I had friends in this congregation say, if you know of a family that needs to be housed, that's big, that's huge, you know? And how about we practice letting go of traditions? How about we practice relationships instead of just being traditional church, and practice being in relationship with God and being in relationship with one another.
Well, you got any ideas for practical steps that a church can take to break down barriers and make this safer?
I would say one technique that I really liked, we did it with youth hope. It was actually really scary, but the end goal was nice. So we had these little cards with the church name on it, and our goal was, and this is given out to like young kids, our goal was to go around at a track and field meet and go pass out cards to people our age and invite them to church. At the time, I felt like I was around 15, and so I was a freshman at the time, and that was really scary. Freshman in high school, you know, not a lot of people actually start going to church. I mean, not a lot of people continue going to church when they're in high school, and I learned that throughout high school and as my freshman year, and so that was really scary. And a group of us, there was like 20 of us, and like millions of people at that track meet. Like, it was a lot because it was their first track meet, so there was a lot of people. And even though there was a lot of us in the group, we were still very fearful of what people might think or what our friends might think. Even though they knew that we went to church, we weren't like openly like talking to them about it or having conversations about it. So the fact that like we had to go pass out these cards and say, hey, you want to come to church next Sunday, was really scary. But actually a lot of people ended up showing up and they ended up coming to church with us. And so I think that's like a really good idea to just, not even, you don't have to have a card, just like to go up to someone and be like, hey, would you like to come to our church? Like, do you go to a church? Or like conversate with them every day? Like, if you see like a worker at a store, you can have a conversation with them about it and just like say hi every day, and then like lead up into it and be like, hey, would you like to come to my church this Sunday, or something like that, something small. I think that would help.
Corey, let me zero it in a little bit for you, okay? Because I think you got this, right? So take that question.
Yeah.
We're not big C church, little C church, just us.
Just us.
Just us.
Going in.
Practically, because these are the people that are the one-on-one getting to know Jesus and then one-on-one getting to know each other. So we want to know, part of this panel is, what are we meant to be doing here in this room? And it can have a ripple effect, and it can it can end up going out and having an effect on other places. But for us, what do you think?
Where I was going to go, I think still can apply. Big church or small church, it's accountable leadership. Right.
Okay.
Accountable leadership shows that you understand the needs of your sheep and what God is calling you to do, and understanding like have those difficult conversations. Right. I mean, we're literally spending a church day's service, you know, having this kind of conversation. Right. So I think we're taking the right steps. You never stop, never quit quitting. Right. So let's continue to try to reach out to different communities. But meet people where they're at, right? So is it that, you know, we invite other churches into our home, or we go into their home, right? Does it have to be just here, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of more discussions like this. I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of questions that people have, so maybe a follow-up if there's, you know, one of the Tuesday activities, if you wanna continue on. continue these conversations, because oftentimes people have a lot of questions and they don't have a safe place to ask the question. Hey, I heard this about this group of people. Is that actually true? And I don't know where to go ask that, because my only perception is what I see on TV or the small interactions that I have. You know, if the only time I've ever met a black person is when he was stealing something at the store, then everything about black people stealing must be true, right? So, and we know that's not the case. But what I'm saying is continue to have these kind of conversations, because it's not going to be resolved here in these 45 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. So continual conversations about these things as things are happening. And then going back to scripture and saying like, hey, is this true? So, you know, so don't let immigrants in our country, right? But we worship an immigrant. So like, what's, you know, like, what are we really doing out here, right? So continuing the conversation, that's another practical step. Like I said, accountable leadership is a practical step. And let's see, usually it's a good 3 takeaways when you do these kind of things.
Here's 3. I'll give you time to think about the last one for your last comment. Any last thoughts from any of you? And maybe, Corey, if you come up with a 3rd one, you can include in that. Any closing thoughts from any of you?
Yeah, just continue to show love. Continue to show love to your neighbor, the people that are not like you. Continue to ask questions. Continue to ask how you can be helpful in different situations, even if you don't understand them. I think conversations about worry and concern, even if you can't do anything about it to change it, still show your character, and it still shows God in you to say, what can I do? Mm. Even when you feel helpless, when you feel absolutely helpless, and you know that there's nothing in the moment that you can do, just saying, what can I do? Mm-hmm. And being aware shows a lot of growth, and it shows a lot of compassion, and it shows a lot of empathy to different situations that are going on within the world and within our community. And I would challenge us to look at a global God. Mm-hmm. I can't say that enough. I can't say that enough that there's a whole thing that we could do on Western Christianity and all of those concepts. But if you are not challenging, if you're not uncomfortable, if you're not having those uncomfortable situations, then you're not growing. And so growth, it has a sense of uncomfort within us that comes with it. And so growth in any area, and right now growth in diversity and understanding, should challenge a sense of uncomfort.
Any closing thought?
I would say to continue to strive for change, find guidance through prayer, and as well as be more involved in the community, and like for volunteering, like volunteer for things. I personally don't like volunteering because like there's no money in it, guys. Like I'm a girl college student.
She's a little broke BFF right now.
Yes, but I would definitely say volunteering. Volunteering helps a lot.
I said last thing was checking with people. Oftentimes we all put on faces when we walk through the door, and the whole story may not be there. So, and it may not be in that moment they're ready to address it, but you know, just checking in with folks. So that'd be my 3rd takeaway. And then the final takeaway is just, I just really appreciate this opportunity. Again, these conversations that could need to continue to have, because things change, people have different mentally need to process things, because I mean, it's a lot that we just dropped up here today. So, but no, I'm just happy to be a part of a church that I see that gets it and wants to strive to be what God has called us to be.
So, you've probably heard some things you never heard before. Some of you are going, what's Western Christianity? Some of you are wondering, oh, am I allowed to like Black Lives Matter, that phrase. Listen, when we hear things that we've never heard before, that's the moment that you lean in and learn more. There is a resistance that our brain does when we don't understand something, to try and contextualize it inside something we think we understand so that we can easily discard it. But this is a moment. Every one of these weeks is going to be a moment where each one of us is going to hear something over the course of 4 weeks that, oh, I hadn't heard that before. Or what is that? Go find out. Go find out. Because learning is a part of growing. And God is always giving us opportunities to learn how to love each other better and how to reflect the image of God that he has put in each one of us more fully and more clearly. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the diversity that is within you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I pray that now that we would know your presence in our hearts and that you would shine on us the sense of your image, that we would start to see it more clearly, that we would then look at each other and see it more clearly in each other. And over the course of these 4 weeks, that we would come out clear-eyed, even if we have new questions, even if we have new things that we didn't understand, that we would come out more clear-eyed towards each other because of who you have created us to be. Amen? Will you thank our guests?